Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about healthy relating in relationships, how to get the love you want without having to fight for it. My guest is psychologist and relationship expert, Dr. Audrey Chapman. Of course, she is going to have a free seminar. It's coming up 1 week from this Saturday at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Alexandria. Arlington, Virginia.
It's just over the bridge. Don't stress. It's just over the bridge. It's on off of Glebe Road.
Okay, there you go. So if you want to attend, you have to register. You can go to her website at audreychapman.com, or you can also text it at 703-979-7411. There is limited seating. And, of course, I'll be posting that information on WHUR.com after the program. Let me go back to our phone lines. Let's talk to Tawana. Tawana calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for accepting my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that I'm in going on 12 years. This year, marriage, and we never had a fight. Not one. Not an argument or a fight. And I think that people need to learn how to get to know themselves before they go into a relationship. Because a lot of people have health issues, mental issues, drug issues, all kinds of issues prior to going into a marriage or a relationship.
Oh, I concur with you completely. And a lot of people also are in denial about their issues.
They don't even want to own
that they have the issues.
Absolutely.
And they think if they get into a relationship, all the issues are going to go away. Well, that's not the case. Actually, your issues become more intense.
I'm going to be quite honest with you, Tawana. I find that really hard to believe. After 12 years that you have not had a fight, how do you resolve your
differences,
your differences and disagreements, right? Or does he just say, "Yes, dear"?
I'm a realist.
Okay.
Let me just say this, and I use the alias name because I don't want to put my name.
That's fine.
But my family, all the women, they fight. They're men. They argue. They fuss.
Okay.
And we're the only ones.
So you made it. You had an agreement with yourself that if you were going to be in a marriage, you were not going to be like the rest of your family.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I grew up in a church home. He grew up in a church home.
Okay.
So that's where it all starts. And that's what people don't understand.
Uh-huh.
You have to have some type of spiritual foundation in order to start with step one. That's step
uh-huh.
one.
Uh-huh.
And until people get that, they're not going to go anywhere.
So
and
who then, takes the lead in your marriage?
It depends.
Oh.
I mean, he's the man. Don't get me wrong. And I would never take that from him.
Mm-hmm.
But we sit down and we are communicators.
Okay. Well, I think there it is.
We're communicators. We love to sit down and have dinner.
You all have connection.
Yeah, we have the love.
You have connection.
Yes, and it's important.
Right.
But if you come into a relationship where you say, okay, I smoke and he drinks. And, you know, you can't even go anywhere with that.
Okay, Tawana, but thank you. And I think chemistry obviously has a lot to do with it, too. And I think that you're very, very fortunate and very blessed.
But power struggles happen when two people fight to protect themselves from their own vulnerabilities and their own fears. That's mm-hmm. why when you get power struggles.
Yeah. How should, and this is certainly an issue, it was mentioned today that the four words that men hate to hear when they come home is, "We need to talk." So how should wives, you know, or live-in girlfriends or what have you, address that "we need to talk" issue without building up with those four words to the immediate stress that often comes with it?
Well, that's why I kind of like what this last caller said. It sounds like they connect and communicate overall about a whole lot of stuff. And I think if you only sit down and talk with your husband or your partner, when there's a problem, we need to talk. That's the only time that you want to sit down with them. That in itself is an issue. Mm-hmm. You need to have a constant communication about a lot of stuff. You know, where are you? What's going on in your life? Are you at peace? Is somebody bothering you? Are you unhappy at work? What discoveries have you made? What are your dreams? What are your hopes? What are your wishes? You know, you talk about a lot of different things so that when there's a bump in the road, mm-hmm. that's not so out of the ordinary. And you're also not disconnected from each other so that you can't talk about the more difficult things. So it takes practice to do that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about healthy relating and getting the love you want without fighting for it. Richard, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Richard. What's on your mind?
Hello. I'd like to say good evening to both of you.
Well, thank you so much.
Evening.
Go right ahead.
And I'd like to piggyback on what the doctor said. I believe that during this time, I don't think people giving themselves an opportunity to have a relationship, because most people have a relationship with their phones and the Internet right now, as well as having a healthy relationship would be throwing all the cards on the table from both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we both know that it's not a perfect world, and everything don't work for everybody. So.
And no one's perfect also. We know
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I'm a firm believer that you have to go outside the box. And if you live that way, because there's no perfect solution to anything.
Mm-hmm. So are you in a relationship?
Yes, ma'am.
And is it working out okay?
It's all right. It's a good friend relationship right now
mm-hmm.
that has a strong basis for something further.
Okay. Well, Richard, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Connie, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Just fine.
Hello, Ms. Chapman. Love your show when you was on the air.
Okay.
So I wanted thank you. I'm in a relationship, and they deem the relationship as being healthy when we only see probably each other maybe twice a month. And in the beginning, it was really
so you all are dating.
We are dating.
Okay.
But it's been 3 years now.
Oh, okay.
So now they deem that the relationship is fine the way it is. You know, I mean, maybe see once or twice a month, and they love it. And I was like, this is not working at all.
What do you want?
I would like to see someone on a constant, on a more constant basis.
You want a complete relationship.
I would like a complete relationship.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that they work out of town doesn't make it any better.
Oh, okay.
So that doesn't make it any better at all. And they have other things that are priority. When they're home, it's more of a priority than putting or trying to see me. I'm fit into the schedule, and I say, this is not working.
But you
and
know, you know, in order for a relationship to progress to the point where it's going to be exclusive and permanent, both parties have to be available. And sometimes people want kind of a part-time thing, but they don't want a full-time thing. It sounds like you want full-time and he wants part-time. And if you can't negotiate that, if he's not ready for whatever reasons, then you have to reevaluate that. But you can't make someone be somewhere that they don't want to be.
Okay.
I understand that. Thank you.
Well, Connie,
if you want more help, come to this free seminar next Saturday, because we're going to be talking about how to work these things out.
All right.
Thank you. I will.
All right.
Connie, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You know, Dr. Chapman, last night I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and she was talking about a dilemma with another friend where the wife earns three times as much as the husband, although they're both high earners. And what she said was that the wife says that, you know, she is not
you know, emasculating. But the issue was that her husband never found out how much money she really made until they did their income taxes.
So there was a secret.
Well, I don't even know if it's a secret. I think that's just the way it was. And my question is that in and of itself, you know, if not emasculating, problematic? And how is it with so many women these days making more money than their spouses? What advice would you give to them in dealing with the issues inside the household?
Well, I think it seems to me, I don't know whether she was making more than him when they first met and when they first got married, or whether that happened over time. So that does make a difference. She was making a lot, and they were in the engagement phase of the relationship. They should both be talking about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
If it happened years after she was married to him because she, you know, got promotions and stuff, my question is, why wasn't that ever made available to both parties? You see, the foundation of any solid, safe, secure, and stable relationship is trust. And trust comes because there's an open door policy on everything. There are no secrets. And the moment there are these blind spots that you kind of bump into and discover, you know, almost like a closet door, you open it, everything falls out. That's not good for either party. So I'm not saying that she had a devious agenda,
right, exactly,
to not share it. She may have not thought much about it at all. But then she's got to be sensitive and caring about how this is going to be for him. And she's got to be willing to listen to how he feels about it. And if he has sensitivities to it, or if it makes him feel like less than a person, she has to be willing to not deny that, but hear that out, try to understand that, so that they can come to a happy medium on it. It should not be a deal breaker at all.
Do women understand that, you know, when so many of them are in leadership positions on the job in their careers, and what impact it may have going on?
I think a lot of times women are not aware of it. I think it takes a lot for them to get to the top management positions, the boardroom jobs, those kinds of things. And I think the kind of energy that you have, even to some degree, even aggressive energy that you have to get there, has to be turned off when you get home. At the same time, I think that's the case with the husband as well. I think he has to be sensitive and aware of that. There are four deal breakers in a marriage or in any relationship that's ongoing: criticism, being defensive all the time, being contemptuous, which means that you put the other person down or you call the person out of their name or you mock them, and shutting down and withdrawing. Those four will destroy any permanent relationship. And so you want to make, and we're going to be talking a lot about that next Saturday on the 29th at Mount Zion Baptist Church with the seminar that I'm doing, because those are the four components that will kill any relationship. It will not last if those four pieces are ongoing. Again, criticism, defensiveness, being contemptuous, and withdrawing all the time, walking out of the room, not saying, look, it's okay to say you need a break because you feel like something's triggering in you and you're about to lose it. But you have to say, I need to take a break. I'll be back. And that's okay. But when you just walk away and it's never resolved, that causes a big problem also.
We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Michelle on the other side of this break. And if you have a question or comment about getting the love you want without fighting about it, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about healthy relating, getting the love you want without fighting for it. My guest, of course, psychologist and relationship expert, Dr. Audrey Chapman. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michelle, calling from Potomac, Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to share this as a comment, and good evening to you beautiful people.
Thank you so much.
It's very important for people who are entering healthy relationships to be that their heart and mind is in alignment and that they're healthy, and opposed to being damaged good and wearing a mask. And what happens, they enter into these relationships with these people wearing these masks or trying to be something that they're not. And I'm not saying when you meet these people, you ought to be a dumping spill. However, you should be able to share your past experiences in a positive light. And if you haven't reached that in your own personal life, then I don't think it's really good to start a relationship if you're still damaged and broken. Because I don't think it's fair for people to have to clean you up and make you better. Making yourself better should start with self.
Yeah, I concur with you. You're absolutely right. However, if you're going through life in complete denial about what's going on with you, what your issues are, and how you are really almost, on the edge of falling apart, but you can't own any of that, it's very difficult for you.
I think you should step back and work on being a better you so you don't become a repeated offender and allow someone.
I'm in complete agreement with you, but I'm saying you'd be amazed at the vast number of people who are totally disconnected from what you just said, and they don't want to have any connection with it. And that's why they want to be in a relationship, because they want somebody else to make them feel better. They want the distraction. They want rescuing. They want, the parent that they never had. They want all of that. And I think you're right. If people could stop forcing that on other people and just deal with their own lives, it would get better. But we're talking about an idealistic notion that probably I haven't seen it in my time ever happening. But that's I don't want to get off the topic, but I think that's the value of people going into counseling. When they go in, they have big discoveries about themselves that they didn't even know existed. And then they can begin to address that and work it differently. But if you just go into a relationship and you think that's going to fix it, it almost always is going to blow up in the relationship. And those are the people that end up having a series of breakups or a series of divorces. Mm-hmm. And so I just agree with you.
All right. Michelle, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What is the best time or how long should someone wait after the end of one relationship to get into another? How do you know when you're ready?
Well, I think there's a period of grieving, and I think if you're still talking to the person that you broke up with, and there are even people who are married who separate and continue to relate on some level to that person, then it's not a done deal yet.
But that's hard to do, for example, in the case of divorce, particularly when there are children involved.
Well, if you're talking about things pertaining to the children, that's understandable. But mm-hmm. I'm talking about if you're talking about each other and going out with each other.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's a whole nother matter. So the relationship is over for you and you're ready to move on to the next when there is absolutely no connection between you and the person that you just ended a relationship with. You're not sitting around thinking about them. You don't text them. You don't email them. You don't follow them. You don't, none of that. In other words, you're not obsessed with them. You have at that point moved on. But that usually takes some work. It definitely takes time. They say I read this someplace that it's about 3/4 of the time of the relationship. So if the relationship was 5 years, you kind of figure it out that way. It takes about that much time for you to move on. And I think when a relationship ends, that's the time for you to take a look and do some inventory on yourself and, how you got yourself into a relationship that wasn't healthy for you and whatever, rather than being so focused on the other person.
When it comes to trying to remove yourself from a relationship, what is the best way to do that? And I know that's a really broad question.
To remove yourself because it's not going well?
Right. And how do you know if the relationship is not healthy? And I'm not talking about domestic violence. I'm not talking about that.
When it's emotionally ungratifying, when it stirs up too much of your stuff, old trauma, when you feel unsafe and insecure in it, those are the times when it's probably not working for you.
So how do you get out of that?
Well, you have to be honest with yourself. You've got to really, really be honest with yourself about that. There are lots of books, again, out there on how to know when it's time to go. In fact, that's the title of one of them, How to Know When It's Time to Go. You've got to pay. This is where tuning into yourself and paying more attention to how you feel. When I say how you feel, I'm not talking about your attitude. I'm talking about your emotions. If you're sad all the time in a relationship, if people point out to you, you look sad, you look unhappy. If you are anxious, if you are having sleepless nights, if you can't concentrate on work, if you're yelling at the kids or kicking the dog, I mean, all of those things are indicators. That's what you're asking about. Mm-hmm. Those are indicators that you're not happy. You're not happy as a person, and you're bringing that into the relationship, and therefore you're not happy in the relationship either.
So what happens when those same things that you mentioned, sleepless nights, kicking the dog, yelling at the kids,
feeling depressed and sad,
right,
exactly, angry, irritated,
after the breakup, how do you address that?
Well, that's part of the grieving process. You are going to go through the first part of it is denial. Then you feel sad and depressed. Then you feel angry and irritated. Then you might feel guilty. Then you get to a place where you try to bargain. You're thinking about, maybe I could have done this, that, or the other, or maybe we should go for help. That's often when people come in my office because they're hoping to fix it, make it better. Sometimes we figure out what went wrong and it gets better and they go on. And sometimes it completely falls apart in the office. And so they come to the conclusion that this just isn't working and I want out. But those stages of loss are normal stages of loss after a relationship. But I'm saying if you're having all of that and you're in a relationship and it's not getting better, it's getting more intense, and you're having a hard time just dealing with your life and functioning, you got to take a second look at that. Mm-hmm. Because something is clearly not wrong. There's something I do suggest to people, though, if you're not getting along and there's a lot of quarreling. This might sound strange to you, Harold, but I suggest that you create what I call a safe zone. So you create a no yelling, no insulting, no cursing zone before you begin a discussion. I think that's helpful. You agree that if people can't talk in the house, then sometimes it's better to walk and talk about an issue because walking lowers your blood pressure. Hmm. And that's a good tool to use, especially if you've got a really intense topic. Don't talk if you come home and you're stressed out and you just were in bad traffic on 395 or somebody cut you off. You just experienced road rage or you didn't get along. The boss said something to you and you were offended by it. Those are not times to sit down and have a intense discussion. And of course, the timeout is so important. But you announce that you're going to do a timeout. You also say you're going to come back because it's important. And you come back to work through and try to resolve. Now, we didn't talk about something, which is that if you grew up in a family where there was constant arguing and fighting, you're not likely to have the tools for working things out. And you're going to have a lot of anxiety when it comes to differences between you and another person, because all you saw growing up was people arguing and fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another reason that some people have difficulty being able to keep the love they want without fighting. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of reasons.
So how does someone deal with that? Do you need to have a person who counterbalances that?
And that helps.
And I think, and what
reading
part?
About communicating, mm-hmm. getting videotapes on it. There are lots of videotapes out there on it. Going to a seminar to learn how to communicate. Again, doing counseling, whether that's with the pastor or a professional person. Those are all the ways that you can do it. I mean, we live in the age of information now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go online and pull up effective communication, and it will give you instructions on it. But if you need a coach, that's where someone like myself or other people in the profession come in. We can coach you in it.
Are men getting better at communicating? I think stereotypically, historically, and there's a lot of truth to it, that men were not good communicators.
There's a lot of data that men tend to be a lot more defensive in communication than women. But I think that that's not without saying that women aren't defensive at all, because they certainly can and are. But I think men want to work at it a lot better. And I think if they had fathers and uncles and grandfathers that modeled it for them, those men tend to be better communicators.
Interesting. Well, Dr. Audrey Chapman, always good to talk to you and help keep folks together. And, of course, don't forget that relationship seminar, it's free.
It's free, free, free.
Free. And it is on Saturday, April 29th at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Arlington,
Virginia.
That's right. So go to audreychapman.com. You can sign up that way. Also, I'll be posting the phone number where you can text your reservation for that event. So definitely go in there, and you may learn something. You may come out ahead. So again, Dr. Chapman, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, April 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR or H Fisher WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.